I know, they have some changes for me as well.
By the way, Dean, that is ginger ale, isn't it? You did tell me when you called me and invited me here to, you know, be one of your special guests today that this was a family show right here at Lake Lawn Resort, right?
Yeah, Jerry, it is Verna's ginger ale. In fact, you know, it's what I like to call deliciously different.
Just like you, Dean. I think even today they say it has an authentic and bold taste.
Sounds like another product placement plug. Once again, on this 105th broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater.
Those pesky writers sure know how to do that. And you would expect that, especially after being on the air for now 12 years.
Howdy, boys. 12 seasons, huh? I Love Lucy was only on for 6 seasons.
Lucy, I'm glad you finally got here. We were worried that you'd be late.
Yeah, Lucy. I overheard Judy Garland and John Wayne talking about your flight being delayed from New York.
I bet Judy was hoping I'd miss the show so she'd get to sing another song. You know how those stars can be.
You also live with a musical star, so you should know.
Well, my sweet dear Ricky is such a wonderful man. He always lets me sing with his orchestra when he plays the Copacabana in New York.
You know, Dean never lets me sing, and when I try to, he always finds a good reason to shut me down.
Now, Jerry, you know I only do that because of our contract with the clubs where we perform.
You must have quite an ironclad contract with those clubs.
Well, Lucy would do. It's pretty simple. I sing. Jerry makes them laugh. And I'm the straight man with all those setup lines for Jerry.
Mr. Martin, 1 minute. 1 minute to airtime.
Well, guys, we better get ready for our show. You know how prompt those folks can be at WGTD Public Radio. Serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, and right here in Delavan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 60 seconds before we go live, so I wanted to remind all of you to please silence your cell phones, sit back, relax, and most of all, have lots of fun for today's live broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater, which, by the way, is show number 105 as we wind up our 12th season. And yes, we have been renewed for our 13th season.
30 seconds to airtime, everyone.
Okay, just in case I forget before we go on the air, let me tell all of you here in the audience at Lake Lawn Resort that support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, the Brown Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin, by the way, which on February 14th of 2017 will officially be known as the Village of Salem Lakes. And we're also supported by the beautiful Lake Lawn Resort right here in Delavan, Wisconsin.
Well, if it isn't our wonderful show announcer, Susan Lean. Always doing such a wonderful job.
Why, thank you, Mr. Martin. And as always, here's your favorite drink before you go on the air.
Well, you must mean my Verner's ginger ale.
You are correct, sir.
Did someone let Ed McMahon in the room here from the Tonight Show? Yeah, I always love to have my drink in hand before I go on the air, and I think it's time for the stage manager to say...
Okay, quiet, everyone. We're going on the air in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 12th annual WGTD Radio Theater's holiday broadcast starring Dean Martin. Once again, coming to you from Lake Lawn Resort, right here on beautiful Delavan Lake in Walworth County, Wisconsin. Dean's very special guest stars today are, and I better do this in alphabetical order because you know how stars can be, Lucille Ball, James Cagney, Betty Davis, Doris Day, Phyllis Diller, Judy Garland, Cary Grant, Jerry Lewis, Marilyn Monroe, John Wayne, and Orson Welles and his assistant, Jeanette. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the star of today's show, the man known worldwide and the everybody loves somebody type of guy, Mr. Dean Martin.
Thank you, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's such a pleasure to be back here in Wisconsin. You know, I grew up here in the Midwest. In fact, I was born in Steubenville, Ohio, back in June of 1917 to Italian immigrants. My name at birth was Dino Paul Crosetti. Later on, once I started my life in show business, I decided that name wouldn't fit on the marquee, so I just changed it to Dean Martin. It was just easier that way. And as they like to say, the rest is history. That name just stuck with me.
Dino, you got that right. Names just kind of have a way of sticking with you.
Well, well, ladies and gentlemen, look who has decided to mosey on in here. Without his horse, of course. John Wayne!
Thank you, everyone. You know, I couldn't let Dean do his show here in Wisconsin without dropping in. And as some of you may know, I was just born down the road here, at actually west of here in Winterset, Iowa.
So, Duke, you were just in town today.
Well, there's a horse show taking place over in Janesville, and some nice folks there just decided to invite me over.
I see. And speaking of names, you had a bit of a name change yourself, didn't you, Duke?
Well, let me tell you, little Dino. I was born Marion Robert Morrison back in May of 1907 at 224 South 2nd Street in Winterset, Iowa.
Marion, huh? Well, I can see why you changed your name to John. Anyway, how'd you come up with the nickname of Duke?
Well, Dean, it was actually given to me. My family moved from Iowa to Palmdale, California, and later on in 1916 to Glendale, where my dad worked as a pharmacist. There we owned a big Airedale Terrier named Big Duke, who was always chasing the fire engines, and the firemen there at the local station got to call me Little Duke. You could say the nickname has dogged me ever since.
Duke, before you leave, one of the questions I've always liked to ask my special guests is, what is your favorite quotation?
Well, Dean, I'll tell you what's always stuck with me. Let me share it now with all of you here today. So listen up and listen tight. Talk low, talk slow, and don't talk too much. That's about the long and short of it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Wayne. Right here. You know, I think it's the perfect time for a number from one of our wonderful musical groups today, Bill's Little Big Band. Bill, what's your first number for us today?
Well, Dino, we're going to bring Sleigh Ride for you. Thank you.
gentlemen, another round of applause for Bill's Little Big Band. I do see standing off in the wings here on our stage, Miss Betty Davis.
Miss Davis, are you ready to go on stage with Mr. Martin?
Of course, as long as my microphone is hot and the spotlight is properly aimed.
Well, I think everything is set for you, Miss Davis.
Well, folks, it looks like our next guest is ready to grace our stage. Please welcome Miss Betty Davis. Betty, it's so wonderful that you are here live on stage with me here at the Lake Lawn Resort.
Well, thank you, Dean. You know how much I've always loved you, and being on your show here in Wisconsin is such a treat.
As it is for all of us here, Betty.
You know, I did notice that set of stairs on the other side of the Frontier Restaurant. I've always liked stairs, you know.
Well, I do think we're about to hear about one of your best-known films, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Am I right?
Well, I was thinking more about Joan Crawford, actually.
Really? How so?
The best time I ever had with Joan Crawford was when I pushed her down the stairs in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. That was such a delicious part for me.
Well, someone once told me that that you love to play such villainous roles. Is that right?
Oh, Dean, that's not always true. It does depend on whom I'm playing opposite. In the case of Baby Jane, it was wonderful pushing Joan's wheelchair down those stairs. Of course, we were just play acting.
Well, what about playing opposite men?
Oh, what about them?
I mean, who was your favorite male star to play opposite of?
Well, Cary Grant, of course. Although we really were not actually in the movie for real. That is, we were edited in, and that was the 1982 movie Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, directed by Carl Reiner and starring Steve Martin.
Betty, 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 did I hear someone mention my name?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Cary Grant.
Well, I think I've lost control of my own show. Now one of my guest stars is introducing another guest star. I think I need another Werner's ginger ale.
I know. The first thing you're going to ask me is what was my birth name. Am I right, Dean?
Well, Cary, I wasn't. But since you have introduced that question into our discussion, okay, what was it?
What was what?
Your name at birth.
Oh, yes. Well, I will tell you mine, only if you tell me yours.
You go first.
Very well. It was Archibald Alexander Leach, and I was born on January 18, 1904, in Bristol, England. And you?
And me what?
Your birth name.
Oh, that's easy. Even I can answer that one. I was born Ruth Elizabeth Davis. My initials, R-E-D, spell red. And you know it's lucky if your initials are a real word.
Anything else?
I must know. I was born at 22 Chester Street in the Highlands neighborhood of Lowell, Massachusetts.
Well, I hear some music being played. Or at least the beginnings of some music.
Oh, well, Dean, I think you better let me introduce them. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think it's smart for me to argue with Miss Doris Day.
I agree with you. And if you must know, I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, and my name was Doris Marianne Cabelhoff.
Well, what a great name.
And Dean, you know what they say.
Well, here it comes.
Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Ladies and gentlemen, here are the Dixie Dudes.
You know, I think it's time to hear the Dixie Dudes, because this is live radio, so Bill, should we get the Dixie Dudes going here at Lake Lawn Resort?
Well, let me see if they're all ready. You guys ready?
Sure.
All right, let's hear it for the Dixie Dudes. Live radio. We just do anything as it happens here.
We have a very special holiday treat for all of you that's become sort of a tradition for the 91.1 Players. A number of years ago, Stan Freberg wrote a script that was a spoof of Jack Webb's Dragnet. It was called YuleNet, and it went something like this.
My name is Wednesday, Joe Wednesday. My partner's Frank Jones. The chief's name is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve. They brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch out of Homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I came down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early just in case I had to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when old Santa Claus comes around, you know?
Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you going to do tomorrow, Joe? What you going to do on Christmas? Got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come over to the house, Joe? We're going to have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings, turkey, celery, stuffing, oysters, maybe chestnuts. All the trimmings, you know, cranberry sauce, love to have you. The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Do you ever notice that, Joe?
Notice what, Frank?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions?
Uh-huh, scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Mrs. always fixes up a plate of relish with those little carrot sticks, you know, olives, pickles, scallions.
Uh-huh, let's not go through that again.
Go through what, Joe?
Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh, you noticed that too, Joe, huh?
Homicide, Wednesday. Uh-huh.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing in a guy in a 409-6325-096704. I don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We question the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus. Guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, is that right?
Yeah!
Says here you didn't believe in Santa Claus. Hard to believe what you said. Did he really say that?
Sure, I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshots.
Any fingerprints?
No latent prints. I just know, that's all. Like saying there's no Easter Bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
What's your story, mister?
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago in a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah, and I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm going to get up and walk right out of this room because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Pretty funny. The police department's got nothing better to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail?
I took Grudge over to the helicopter, got in, flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurrying in and out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people. But I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. Ah, those stockings hung, Grudge.
By the chimney with care. But I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums. But you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job? Get to the North Pole. I set the plane down. We walked over to Santy's workshop, rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short of help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Uh-huh, that figures.
What a waste of time.
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would have to come on the one night he's out on the whole year.
What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job? Feed them.
Yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish, olives, pickles, and them little carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Uh-huh.
And scallions.
Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us through the workshop.
My boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Do you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Uh-huh.
Man, look at all that stuff.
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man. Been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
'Cause he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Uh-huh, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance this guy can steal.
Oh, get the presents? Oh, sure. He gets them all the minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it. I don't want to hear
it. Come on, Mr. Brownie. What's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The Brownie saw us to the door. Wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus?
Yes, sir.
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then, I believe in Santa Claus. And Columbus.
How about Cincinnati? And Cleveland? And the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still haven't made up my mind about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Well, that was Bill's Little Big Band with their rendition of Walking in a Winter Wonderland. Well, I'm now being reminded by Maddie the Border Collie that I need to introduce her along with the lovely and most beautiful Miss Marilyn Monroe.
Hello, Dean. Hello, Maddie. And Hello, everyone.
Well, Marilyn, hey, it's so wonderful to see you. I do mean see you this morning.
Thank you, Dean. And I must tell you a secret. A really big secret.
Yes? And what might that be, Marilyn?
Norma Jean Mortensen. And I was born in beautiful, sunny Los Angeles, California, on June the 1st.
Well, I swear. Well, I was not even going to ask you any of that.
But I want to know more about Betty, that beautiful border collie girl. Just look at that diamond collar. You know, diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Well, I wonder just who might be able to help us with that.
Dean Martin and my dear friend Marilyn Monroe.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Judy Garland to our stage.
And don't forget about my precious little Maddie, the border collie.
Judy, you've always loved little dogs, haven't you?
Well, Dean, we always had dogs when I was growing up, but I was really attached to little Terry, although you and everyone else knows her as little Toto, a female Cairn Terrier who was about 5 years old when the movie was filmed. Thank you, Maddie. Little Terry, whose name was actually changed to Toto back in 1942, appeared in 16 different movies, most famously, of course, as Toto in the 1939 movie The Wizard of Oz.
There's no place like home.
Dean. Well, Dean, I'm so sorry to run, but I'm due in the recording studio with Liza. We're recording a new album, you know. Bye-bye, everyone, and especially to you, sweet little Maddie.
Well, thank you, Judy. I think it's time once again to introduce our wonderful musicians, the Dixie Dudes, for another song.
Big bands are back. And you're gonna sing, I'm gonna take a sentimental journey. I'm gonna set my heart at ease. I'm gonna take a sentimental journey to renew old memories. And what have I got? I got my bag. I got my reservation. Spent each time I could afford. Like a child with wild anticipation. I long to hear that. Seven, that's the time we're leaving. Seven, I'll be waiting up for heaven. Got a railroad track, it takes me back. And I never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I?
Thanks once again to the Dixie Dudes there. Always great to have a holiday show here at Lake Lawn Resort. Time now to introduce a lady who has been a special guest here at the holiday shows for a number of years. I've always loved being on shows with Phyllis Diller. And one of my favorite descriptions of Phyllis comes from Roseanne Barr, who said this about Phyllis, and I quote, "She was timeless, a wacky, tacky character whom she created. The cigarette holder was genius, paradoxically regal. She was a victorious loser hero, the female iteration of Chaplin's Little Tramp," unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Phyllis Diller.
Well, thank you, Dean. What a wonderful introduction. You know, this is the only place I'd like to be this morning. Actually, it's the only place that would take me in on this cold, wintry day in December here in beautiful Wisconsin.
Well, Phyllis, you look wonderful today. Your hair is beautiful as ever. And your face.
Dean?
Your face.
I am never going to give up on my looks. Never. I'm in the 14th year of a 10-day beauty routine. You know, I found a money-back guarantee on beauty cream. Rushed down to the store, Kohl's, Highway 50 in Kenosha. They took one look at me and paid me in advance.
Phyllis, you are such a wonderful guest. Say, Phyllis.
Yes, Dean. Boy, does this sound like a setup line. Anyway, yes, Dean.
Anyway, say, Phyllis. You ever get upset over what the newspapers write about you?
Who, me? Say, if I or someone like, say, President-elect Donald Trump ever truly got upset with everything said about us, wow, these lines would be coming at us five times as fast. But to answer your question, Dean, Time magazine wrote this about me way back in the early 1960s, and I quote, "On stage comes something that, by its own description, looks like a sack full of doorknobs. With hair dyed by Alcoa, pipe cleaner limbs, and knees just missing one another when the feet are wide apart, this is not T.S. Eliot's Princess Volupone. It is Phyllis Diller, the poor man's Auntie Mame, the only successful female among New Age comedians, and one of the few women funny and tough enough to belt out stand-up act of one-line gags," end quote.
All I know, Phyllis, is that you are the best. You're always welcome as a very special guest on my show. Anytime, anywhere.
Well, thank you, Dean.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable Phyllis Diller.
Oh, thank you.
Someone say my name?
No. But it's James Cagney. Welcome.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live.
I just wanted to come out here before Orson Welles and his trusty assistant, Jeanette, to say happy holidays. And a Merry Christmas to you and all of your wonderful listeners on WGTD Public Radio and the very lively audience here at Lake Lawn Resort.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Just what have you been up to?
Well, Dino, I'm certainly not a part of your rat pack, but as always, I work hard.
James, you have always been my hero when it comes to how you view this whole profession of entertainment. And before we get a chance to hear once again from Bill's Little Big Band, what's your secret to the whole world of entertainment?
Dean, I think of myself essentially as a vaudevillian, as a song and dance man. The vaudevillians I knew, by and large, were marvelous people. 90% of them had no schooling, but they had a vivid something or other about them that absolutely riveted an audience's attention. Those vaudevillians knew something that ultimately I came to understand and believe, that audiences are the ones who determine the material. Why, you ask? Because they buy the tickets. Just like your audience here at Lake Lawn Resort this morning.
Well said, Mr. Cagney.
Well, Dean, now that I've gotten things so serious and profound, how about if we really mix things up with another great musical number from Bill's Little Big Band? Hit it, boys!
Well, I don't think, Mr. Cagney, that they're ready. They're in the green room, but they're doing something. But I think I see Mr. Orson Welles. Don't I, Dino?
Hello,
I think Orson.
I'm Orson Welles. We know a remote farm in Walworth where Mrs. Buckley lives in July. Peas grow there. Do you really mean that? I don't understand. We aren't even in the fields yet, you see.
It's Mr. Orson Welles.
Thank you, Dean. You know, I was just here in beautiful Walworth County, right in this very spot, almost, for my original rendition of The Cane Shadow, which I truly love. That was only last month. In November of this very year.
Oh, yes, I know. And,
Oh, Jeanette, where are you?
I'm right here, Mr. Welles. Right here in beautiful Delavan at Lake Lawn Resort.
Jeanette and Dean, have I ever told you that I spend 20 times more doing these commercials for those Chicago sound engineers than I do for anyone else? And on top of it, they are such pests. And yes, just as pesky as those two writers and co-executive producers that they call themselves, Brown and Alstrup. Then I have two directors telling me what to do. I don't even like it when one director gets in my sights. The way they want those stupid commercials read is impossible. Simply impossible.
So, Orson.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Martin, but Orson, you are the one who wanted to be here for this very important show, show number 105 on WGTD Radio Theater. We aren't even in Kenosha, the one you used to call that nasty little town.
Did you really say that about Kenosha? With its beautiful waterfront right there on Lake Michigan? Orson, I've never heard of such
Look,
a thing.
Look, Dean, if I ever did say that, I must have been sipping too much of that wine before its time. In any case, Kenosha is the hometown of a number of other famous faces, including actors Mark Ruffalo, Al Molinaro, Daniel J. Travante, and Don Ameche. Athletes like Nick Van Axel and Alan Ameche, inventors Thomas B. Jeffrey and Christopher Latham Scholes.
Mr. Welles, we are running really tight on time, and I know I'm on the air live, but I think we're going to have to go to our close here, so I think we need to cue our show announcer, and we'll have a little music under you, and here's our show announcer.
This has been the WGTD Radio Theater's live broadcast from Lake Lawn Resort. We featured the Dean Martin Holiday Show starring Jim McClure as Dean Martin. Other stars today were Chris Brooks, Julie Burton, Rene Bouchel, Siegfried Christoph, Vicky Dumais.
You're listening to WGTD HD.